our minds. You'll recall last week we dealt with a couple of things, and we started off by simply talking about the fact that we need to control our minds. We hit 3 points last week. Point number one was that we are all subject to every frailty that comes in our flesh. We are subject to all the frailties of the flesh. Number two, we said we must accept that our ways are to be different. And then finally, we talked about the fact that God's weapons work first on our minds. I want to read this to you again because we last week set up what is going to be foundational for us as we are in this sermon series, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we started at verse number 3. Beginning at verse number 3 and reading there from the English Standard Version of the Bible, it reads this way. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." That's a good thing. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Verse 5, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." I just want to remind you that what we're talking about is the fact that we really need to make sure that our minds belong to God. That I cannot be or cannot become, I'm not going to be a disciple. We know we talk a lot about being a disciple here at Harvest Christian Fellowship. In fact, we believe that it is our sole mission is to make sure that we are becoming and making more disciples for Jesus Christ, who will then in return go out and make more disciples. But I can't do that if my mind ain't right. Because what I think is going to infect or affect what I believe. What I believe is going to affect what I do. What I do is going to affect who I become. So it all begins in our minds. And I need you to know that there is absolutely a war daily being waged. It's a war for who or what is going to control your mind. This week, I want to talk about what it looks like when we have or what is a hostile mind. I'm on bring my board out for a minute, because I think that when we get ready to read these verses this week, that it is my hope that you see some parallel, some correlation between what we talked about this week and what we talked about last week. So I want to stop here for a moment, even before I get into the verses for this week, and remind you again by reading what we read last week, what we're talking about. So we dealt with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We started at verse number 3 and went through verse number 5. And what we were talking about very simply is that we live a new way, right? And so we talked about the fact that the old way that things happen is the way that we perceive things to be in our flesh. That each and every one of us, if we would have our way, we would live life according to what I want to do. If there's anybody in here who's different, raise your hand. There's some things I want, some ways I think. The way Paul talks about them is Paul talks about that way as the way of our flesh. But then last week we heard that even though we live in this flesh, even though I live in this body with all of its frailties, even though every now and again my strength wanes, even though every now and again I may have to wrestle with doubt, I have all of the things that go on with living in this vessel of earth and clay, I don't have to wage war according to my finite ability. That I don't have to be subject just to the things that come with being a man made of flesh and bone. I don't have to give myself over to what we are calling the old way. Because there's another way. And that's God's way. And so what Paul would want us to believe, listening to what he said in Corinthians, the second book of Corinthians, chapter number 10, Paul says that this flesh is weak. That if I am going to do it the way that I want to do it, I need to understand that I am going to be operating out of my weakness rather than out of power. That my flesh is not submitted. That my flesh will fail me. That my flesh is sinful. Basically, if I want to sum it all up, my flesh has shortcomings. But what he says is that there is a power inherent in this new way that allows me access to destroy the things that may be in between me and what God wants for me. Now, if we just look at it that way, the question that I would have for everybody in here is how many of us still want to operate using the old method? When we think about what we get because I belong to God and I allow my mind to be submitted to God and His way, that even though I understand I am a human, and every now and again, somebody raise your hand if you hear me when I'm saying this. Every now and again, we can lose our godly mind for our natural mind. And that's usually followed by, excuse me, forgive me, or I'm sorry, or if you're one who does it all the time, you know how I am. God does know how we are. Which is absolutely why God has given us another way. So here's where I want to go this morning. Look at Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read the first 11 verses in Romans chapter 8. And if time allows, we'll go to Romans chapter 1. Because one of the interesting things about the New Testament, particularly about the writings of Paul, is Paul talks a whole lot about our mind. Paul talks a lot about the kind of mind we should have, as opposed to the kind of mind most of us naturally will operate with. And depending on when you came to a full understanding and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, and here's the most important thing I'm going to say, the day that you decided to let him be Lord will dictate actually how long you've been living a life the old way. Let me say it again for those in the cheap seats. You can be in church a long time and not be a Christian. You can tithe, sing, dance, preach, and not be a Christian. Why? Because we talked about, and really I would rather use the word disciple, we talked some time ago about the marks of a disciple, those things that mark a disciple. And the first thing we said is a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus Christ. Well, there are those who say, I do that. I wear all the icons of the faith. I got a cross that goes on my front and I got one on my back. I got the Jesus fish on the back of my car and the bumper sticker that says honk if you love him. I can say I follow him, but that's not enough. We also said that a disciple is somebody who not only is following Christ, but someone who is being transformed, allowing themselves to be changed by Christ, someone who actually understands that living my old way is not good enough. And so I'm willing to submit myself to someone greater than I who will show me, give me access to a new way, but also will rip away from me, change in me those things that need changing because I recognize the weakness of my flesh. I am allowing myself to be changed by Christ. So some folk just got off the bus. But then finally, a disciple is someone who is committed not only to following him, not only to walking with him in a way that allows him to transform them, but also a disciple is somebody who is committed to living life in community with other folk so that they can help others do the same. So now it becomes a much smaller group. So now you ought to be able to see how it is absolutely possible to be in church all your life and not really be a Christian, a disciple. How you can even be a leader and not really be a disciple. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1. Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death." He's already making the contrast. "For God has done what the law," watch this, "weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." For those who have allowed themselves to be changed by Christ, recognizing that the flesh is insufficient to do in me or get through me what God desires, so there's another way, God's way, which Paul here is talking about is the way of the Spirit. Verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds," stop. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So those who are desirous to live the old way keep thinking about, allow their minds to be focused upon, operate with the operating system from the old way. And he'll talk about that a bit more. But those who are real disciples, those who are sold out for Jesus, those who want to be about it rather than simply talking about it, those who recognize that saying I'm a follower ain't enough, but that faith actually gets put in action when I begin to move like I believe. So what I know, I begin to act on. Those make sure their minds are different. Verse 6, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is," read it, "hostile to God." Why? "Because it does not submit to God's law." Look at the end. "Indeed, it can." So no matter how much of a Christian I think I am, no matter how hard I believe I'm riding for Jesus, as long as I am operating out of the old mind, even though that mind is still with me, remember, although I walk in the flesh, I don't war after the flesh. Although I am living in this vessel, God has empowered me by his Spirit dwelling on the inside of me that I can live a different way. So the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God because it doesn't submit to God's law. It doesn't submit to the way that God has. In fact, it can't. So look at verse 8. "So with all that said, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Verse 9. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Now, it's going to be hard this morning. That's a real cut and dry verse. Because ultimately, what Paul is saying there is the fruit of the Spirit is evident, just like the fruit of the flesh is evident. So if the Spirit of God is actually in you, there ought to be some fruit, right? You will know a tree by its bark, no. You will know a tree by its leaves, no. You will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Now, I'll save that for another time. Y'all kind of know where I'm going, though, right? It's real. I'm out here now, might as well. It becomes real difficult, no matter how many times you say you are a thing, to believe you are that thing if we can't see the evidence of that thing. Right? Now, I ain't gonna lie. I can get real. I am not a golfer. I have golf clubs. I got golf shoes. I got a bag. And when I go play, you with me, I look good. Right? When I go out there and I go to the clubhouse and I pay my greens fees and I get in the cart because I know how to drive. I get in the cart and I put my bag in the back. Folk are like, oh, it's on today. Watch. And if that's all I do, I might be able to fool some folk into believing I'm a golfer. But inevitably, we're going to get to the first tee. And I listen, and I still look good because I got the clothes on. I know the lingo because I watched the Golf Channel before I went. Right? I know how to put the ball on the tee. I know the right height to put it. I even know how to stand. But there's going to come a time when after I address the ball, is that the right language? You know it is, right? After I address the ball, how are you doing, ball? I realize that's not what it means. But after I address the ball and I make sure that I'm holding my hands right, I am going to have to swing. And then it becomes known to everybody that this dude is faking. It's the same way with us. At some point, it is going to become evident to everybody whether or not you are actually a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the problem, if there is a problem, and I believe there is a problem with the contemporary church, is that we let too many people get away with saying they are, with zero evidence that they may be. Now watch this. This is a group that God desires everybody belong to. So God's expectation is that we're going to have people who are part of this group who are at every absolutely possible place on the journey that is the continuum of my life as a disciple in Jesus Christ. Whether from spiritually dead to a spiritual grandparent, it does not matter. But what we cannot allow is that people believe that it is okay to come in having this understanding, the old way, that I am going to submit myself to what I know and how I know and what I've been doing, my mind that is part of my flesh, because the mind that is set on the flesh, the Bible says, is death. But God gave us a new way. And he says there, I ain't even through reading the verses. You are, however, not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Lord, that's a shout right there. I got to read the last verse. We ain't never going to get out of here today. If the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Stop for a minute and think about what we read last week. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Why? Because as crazy as this body I'm living in can become, as mixed up as my mind may be, if I have said, Jesus, I need you, and have received the Holy Spirit as a pledge, then I have in me all I need to empower this body that is dead in sin to be able to live a different way. And so it becomes all the more evident that if you have accepted Christ and you still are wrestling with these things here, it is a choice we are making. So here's where we're going to jump off from. And believe it or not, before I even get to point one, I'm halfway through. The call to Christ is a call to new life. But this new life has to begin with a new mind. Where we want to be today, talking about the hostile or the unregenerate mind, is that the mind that resists transformation becomes a hostile mind. So it's possible to have walked down an aisle and have given your life to Jesus Christ as Savior and still have a hostile mind. It's possible, watch, to profess your love for God and for Jesus Christ, his Son, and still have a hostile mind. Because the hostile mind is the one that resists this change that God desires to bring about in my dead and dying flesh by his Spirit who dwells in me. So let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about the hostile mind. The hostile mind, and we've already said it, that's why I said I'm halfway through. The hostile mind is set on the old ways. If you are the person who just cannot see your way clear to accept that there is a different and better way, that God is actually calling us to do it differently, that call to come to Christ, according to Bonhoeffer said that a bid to come to Christ is a call to come and die. That if I am saying that I am going to be a believer in Jesus Christ, I am actually accepting that I have to be extremely different than I was when I came in the first place. That this thing, this life that Christ calls us to, has to begin with me dying to who I was before. And so if I am sold out, if I am set, that my mind is going to continue to operate, watch. Because remember, where does what I believe begin? What I believe begins with what I know. And so unless and until I not only come to know the truth about God through his Son, Jesus Christ, but accept it as true, until I come to accept the truth about myself, I'm not going to ask this as a real question, but it's a question that need be asked. Are there those among us who believe that we are right even when God shows us we're wrong? Who believe, watch this, that God is an addition to my life rather than the one who is actually going to exchange my old life that was leading me to death for his new life that brings me to life? God's not a pair of earrings or a set of cufflinks. He's not an accessory. Something that actually, watch this, adds some bling to my life. That's not who God is. God is actually he who exchanges what he recognizes. There's a recall on you. There was a defect in you at the moment of your conception. How? Because it says in the Bible that you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That you actually, at the moment, you got, do they still slap babies? It's been a minute. They don't. Okay, I got a nurse saying they don't, so I don't remember. I don't remember them slapping either one of my children, but I was just so enamored with the whole sight that I don't remember. But the baby starts crying. In the movies, they turn them upside down by their legs and slap them. That seems kind of weird. But the point I'm making is at the moment of that first breath, there's already an issue that needs to be overcome. That issue is sin. And the way that sin has been overcome, and the analogy I just used, is a recall. And how many of you, now this, tell the truth, shame the devil, how many of you have gotten a notice in the mail about your new car, that there was some issue with your new car, and that you needed to bring it in so they could, watch this, at no cost to you, fix the issue? And what you said to yourself is, I don't notice no issue. It's riding just fine to me. And so you keep on rolling with it until the wheels fall off. But on the inside, there's something that could undermine everything it's supposed to do. The same is true with us. God actually has for us a new way. But there are some who are set on the old way. And what God says in Scripture is, that's the hostile mind. Look at chapter 8, verse number 7, the book of Romans. For the mind that is set on the flesh, the mind that is set on doing it this way, the mind that is doggedly determined that this is the way I'm going to do it and can't nobody change my mind, that this is who I am and I love God as much as everybody else, but I know that I am never going to do it any way other than this. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. And if you think about what it says, he's absolutely right. Why is it hostile to God? Because God is telling you there's another way. God is calling you to another way. God is showing you another way and telling you just how wrong the old way is, and you're going to do it anyway? Then surely the simple fact that the God who created you calls you to something different and you say, kick rocks, I'm going to do it my way, says you are not submitted. And so you're hostile to God's way. Point two, the hostile mind knows but doesn't believe. It's the hard thing. But the Bible says to know what is right and do it not is sin. See, knowing is not enough. Knowing only becomes of any value when you do what you know. How many folk know what to eat and what not to eat? Raise your hand. If you eat the stuff you're not supposed to eat, keep your hand up. We talked about the devil last week. As a quick aside, somebody in my house went out and bought 5 packs of the devil. I thought I was being pumped. 5 packs, family pack, 5. It's only 4 people in my house, so if everybody get a pack, they must have got 2 for daddy. I just don't know, but the hostile mind knows, I know, but I don't believe. And what I know is worthless until I put what I know in action, right? So it goes back to me talking about being in church but not really being a believer. Knowing is one thing, but if I know and I don't do, it's sin. It leads me to a hostile mind. And then why am I questioning that I wind up getting the very things that God says are going to come as a result of having a hostile mind? I didn't read it to you out loud. I'm going to use part of it here. I want you to look at verse number 18 in chapter number 1 of the book of Romans. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Look at verse 19. This is where I wanted to get to. "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen." Remember, they know, but they don't believe because their minds are set on the old way. I know what I got. I know what's better. Paul even says they would rather worship mankind and the things that man can come up with, rather than honoring the actual one that every time they walk outside and the sky is not falling, they ought to honor God. Every time they walk outside and hear the wind blowing, every time they go to the ocean and wonder how it is that waves crash here and go no further, they ought to honor God. Everything there is to know about God has been revealed to them, and yet their minds still are set on the old way. That's the hostile mind. And so then Paul says, and so as a result, fine, that's what you want. I'm gonna give you up to everything that comes with that. Everything that you can do, go get it and get what comes as a result of it. And so we wonder how it is that we see the very, remember, when you go to Galatians chapter 5 and Paul talks about the works of the flesh are evident to everyone, and we start reading that list, we're like, oh Lord, I know that person. I know that person. That person's me. I know that person. Lord, that's me too. Because we have not giving ourselves over to God's way. And it begins here. It begins here. See, we think belief begins here. Belief begins here. Because whatever you're thinking is going to actually affect who you become. And so when we start looking at our lives and wondering, why is it that I always find myself in a pattern where I start here and I say to myself, I'm going to X, and yet I always find myself right back here. Start here. What's the mind trash that you are telling yourself about you or God that is leading you to continually give yourself over to the old way, which gives over to a hostile mind? Next point, I'm almost out your face. Point three, and we already heard this, the hostile mind cannot please God. Let me say it another way. If you cannot believe, you cannot trust. If you can't trust, you can't submit. And if you cannot submit, you cannot please God. We read it in the verse. I don't need to read it again. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. And finally, here's what I want us to know. I had wrestled with, because next week we're going to talk about the timid mind. And I had wrestled with, you know, do you just set up or set out all of these things that these minds are setting us up for the final sermon in the series where we talk about the relief or the release from this, or do you give that in each one? And because the text does, I think it's appropriate that we do. That we don't just say, here's the hostile mind, here's all the things that comes to the hostile mind, amen, benediction. But that I don't leave you without saying that the hostile mind isn't God's plan for us. Amen. Because the hostile mind leads to death, and God does not desire death for us. But God actually has another plan. God actually has another way, and that is the way of the Spirit. Submission to God. That's the way to life. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how do I keep coming back here? And it starts here. I don't care what it is. As I am thinking about a thing, I am affecting what I'm going to believe. As I am believing a thing, it is going to affect what I do. As I do a thing, that's who I will become. And so the wrestle that we all have to have is to come to the submission in our minds that this is a daily and a moment by moment throughout the day wrestle, battle, fight, war, whatever picture you want to paint. For control of my mind. And the devil understands that while we running around trying to stop doing stuff, all I got to do is whisper enough stuff in your ear to get you to think on it. Because, yeah, you can stop it for a minute, but if I can get you to think on it, I can get you to believe it. If I can get you to believe it, I can get you to do it. If I can get you to do it, I have wrecked what God was trying to do. I'm going to read this one more time, and then we're done. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God, of Christ, does not belong to him. Well, every believer has the Spirit of Christ. If you confess the Lord Jesus, you have the Spirit of Christ. And so the question now becomes, what are you going to allow him to do? Because he'll whisper to you. Every now and again, he'll even scream at you. But he will always allow you to do what you won't do. And so it becomes up to us, to moment by moment and every moment in between, to give him control. It's almost like you get that computer, and don't you hate it when you have all your security set up good, right? You got everything. So now you're trying to use stuff, and every time you make a click, something pops up. So-and-so is trying to control your operating system. So-and-so is trying to make a change to your system. Do you want to allow them to do that? And you're like, Lord, I'm just trying to do this. Yes. And then you're doing something else, and here it come pops up again. Such and such program is trying to make a change to your computer. Will you allow? Yes, that's what we're doing. The Holy Spirit will allow to change you right here in this area of your life. Are you going to allow them? Him. Yes. The Holy Spirit would like to prevent you right now from stepping in something that's going to jack you up for years to come. Will you allow him? Yes. Right? Some of us are like, no, do not accept, block. right? Like Java running, block it. No, you can't run that script in the background. I don't know who you are, block it. And we wind up realizing later on, man, I should have said yes to that. Because God didn't mean me any harm. What he was actually trying to do was get me from operating in an old way, which is going to develop in me a mind that is hostile to God. I don't believe that there's a believer in Jesus Christ who wants to have a mind hostile to God. But if we don't submit to God, then by nature, our minds become hostile to him. Let me give you these takeaways, which is just literally our recap, and I'll let you go from this place. Takeaways. The mind that resists transformation becomes a hostile mind. The hostile mind is set on the old ways. Two, the hostile mind knows but doesn't believe. Third, the hostile mind cannot please God. And we ended. Four, the hostile mind isn't God's plan for us because it leads to death. The way of the Spirit, submission to God, is the way to life. I ask you to stand with me, if you will, this morning, afternoon.